pray together as we look at these passages. Father God, thank you so much for your word. And we thank you so much for your presence in our life and for your work in every person here. And as we look at these passages now, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and speak to us and you would make yourself known to every person here this morning. Amen. Can I invite you to take your seats? This morning we're starting a new sermon series. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at a series called Life in the Spirit. And this morning we're looking at the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is given in both of the readings that we've looked at this morning. The promise that God would pour out his Holy Spirit on all people. But before we dive into this topic this morning, I thought it would be helpful to acknowledge, first of all, that sometimes it can be a little bit tricky to get our heads around who the Holy Spirit is. I know often when we talk about God the Father, because each of us have had a father or we know people who are fathers, we can look at them and we can get some idea of how God could be a father. When we talk about Jesus, God's Son, again, we can think about how God the Father could send his Son to earth. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it can seem a little bit of a mystery to many of us. I don't think this has been particularly helped in the past when older translations of the Bible and the BCP as well, the Book of Common Prayer, often translate the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And I often wonder who it is we think we're dealing with when we talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Also, I think it's right, and probably if we're honest, to acknowledge that sometimes we might be a little bit fearful of the Holy Spirit as well. And if you're on the Lent course, I told this story, which I thought highlights very well the apprehension or the fear that we sometimes have of the Holy Spirit. It was the story of a church in central London, which was a very formal church. And in this church, like many churches, they were a little bit nervous about the Holy Spirit. But one day, a woman became a Christian, and she went to church, and she told everybody in this church that she'd experienced the Holy Spirit, and they began to get a little bit nervous about how she might behave in the service. And to be honest, their worries were actually well-founded, because in the middle of the service, as everybody was sat there praying silently, this woman shouted out, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" And there was a church warden in that church that came up to her as she was shouting "Hallelujah!" and tapped her on the shoulder and said, "You mustn't say that here in church." And she said to the church warden, "But I'm so excited. I've got religion." And the church warden looked at her and said, "I don't care what you've got, but you didn't get it here, madam." And the Holy Spirit was banished from the church that morning. People didn't know what was happening, and people couldn't understand what was happening in our lives. And that's a funny story to introduce this topic this morning. But actually, I think many times in our lives, we are fearful about this talk of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what difference would the Holy Spirit make in our lives? Is it going to mean that we all start shouting hallelujah and dancing around? I'm sure it doesn't. But let's think this morning, just for a while, about what does it mean that God has promised us that we would have the Holy Spirit with us? And first of all, I just want to draw out that the Holy Spirit isn't somebody who we should be fearful of. The Holy Spirit is actually a person who wants to be in relationship with us. In the ancient world, if a ship was in trouble, especially a little ship, then a bigger ship would be sent out to draw alongside the small ship and to lead it to safety into the harbor. And the name for the big ship in Greek was Parakletos. Para means alongside, and kletos means called. So the literal translation of this big ship that came alongside the small ship was the one or the boat that's called alongside. And interestingly, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in our passage from John this morning, he describes the Holy Spirit as the Parakletos. So literally again, the Holy Spirit is the one who is called to come alongside each one of us, in our lives, exactly where we are. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is translated in our version of the Bible as the counselor, because a counselor draws alongside somebody when they're in a time of trouble. Sometimes the comforter, because I'm sure we've all appreciated people who've drawn alongside us in times when we've needed comfort. Or sometimes even the advocate, because if you think of a legal setting, sometimes we need an advocate, someone to speak on our behalf, someone to come alongside us and help us in that context. The word is very hard to translate into English, and that's why we have so many different words for the Holy Spirit in our English versions of the Bible. But each translation of the Bible is trying to get at the same point. The Holy Spirit is not a stranger. The Holy Spirit is not somebody to be feared, but the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to come alongside us, like somebody who wants to give us counsel, bring us comfort, or advocate on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside each one of us today and to be in relationship with us, to show us that God really is with us today. He knows each of us intimately, and he wants to meet with us. He wants to draw alongside us. And for some people, that might be putting your hands in the air and shouting hallelujah. But I know for me, that's not my natural style of worshiping. I'm much more contemplative, and I like to be much more quiet in my prayers. I don't always like to share with other people what I'm thinking about and what I'm praying about. And I've learned with time that the Holy Spirit can speak to me, Matt, in a way that's just right for me, because he knows me intimately. And so this morning, however best you connect with God, the Holy Spirit wants to meet with you. He wants to draw alongside you. He wants to be there and to show you that he loves you and to be in intimate relationship with you. For me, that's just a still, small voice inside me that brings me peace and brings me calm when I pray or when I worship here on a Sunday morning. For other people, you might experience the Holy Spirit in a different way. But however you do experience the Holy Spirit, it's the sense that the Holy Spirit is coming to draw alongside you and to be with you. He's not to be feared. So the Holy Spirit wants to draw alongside us. But the Holy Spirit isn't just a new thing that we've created in the church in the last few years. The second point I want to make is that the Holy Spirit has actually been around since the beginning of the world. The Holy Spirit has been drawing alongside people since God even thought about the idea of creation. And I know that when I first came to faith, I was very skeptical of the Holy Spirit. I thought that it was probably the Pentecostal movement in the last 60 years or around that time that had invented the Holy Spirit. And before that, the Holy Spirit probably didn't exist. But actually, if you look back in your Bibles all the way to the beginning of Genesis, there is evidence that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is seen coming alongside people and helping them at particular times for particular purposes. So for example, I think probably we all know the story of Joseph and his technicolor dream coat. Well, in Genesis 41, after Joseph goes and he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh, Pharaoh says of Joseph, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" There's a sense that Joseph is enabled by the Holy Spirit to interpret dreams to do a particular task that God has put before him. In the book of Judges, you might remember the story of Gideon. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is said to have come upon Gideon to help him lead Israel. So we have examples of Joseph and Gideon, people who were called to do amazing things in the Holy Spirit. But then also tucked away in the Bible, we have examples of characters who are not so well known. In Exodus 31, we have the story of Bezalel. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Bezalel is one of my heroes. This is what God says to Moses about Bezalel. "See, I have chosen Bezalel of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." Bezalel is not really celebrated much. We don't often hear sermons about Bezalel, even though we hear sermons about Moses and Gideon. But Bezalel's job was to be there and to make all the beautiful furnishings that decorated the temple and made the temple seem so beautiful. So again, the Holy Spirit was drawing alongside an ordinary person, helping them to do something that would honor God and make God known. And like I said, Bezalel is one of my heroes because often, and as I look out at you this morning, I see lots of people, ordinary people, who use their skills and their gifts to show other people what God is like. People who allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside them and just to do ordinary things, but ordinary things that point people to God. As I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded of Handel, the composer. Handel composed one of his most famous pieces, The Messiah, in 24 days after he suffered a stroke in 1741. And as he composed this piece of work, he said, "I did think I saw heaven open, and I saw the very face of God." And many, many people have listened to that piece of music, The Messiah by Handel, and as they've listened to it, they've realized and they've come to a realization that God is real and he loves them, and they've come to faith in them. They've come to faith in God. And I'm so glad that Handel used his gift, he used his skills, he allowed the Holy Spirit to be at work in him and to compose this piece of music. He could have gone off and decided he wanted to do another job, but instead he was faithful to what God had called him to do. And this morning I'm encouraged that the Holy Spirit still wants to come alongside each one of us, just like he's done all through time, all through history, draw alongside us and help us in what we're called to do. However, finally, I just want to pause for a moment and realize and just highlight as well that although throughout the Old Testament we see God drawing alongside people for a specific task or a specific purpose, God promises as well that he would pour out his Holy Spirit in a new way upon all people. And so we've seen in the Old Testament how God, through the Holy Spirit, draws alongside people and helps them in the specific tasks he needs them to do. But both our readings this morning point forward to Pentecost, a time when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all those who ask for it. Joel talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out on everybody, regardless of their age, regardless of their gender, and regardless of their rank or their status in society. And in John 14, Jesus also tells his disciples that he must leave them, but he will send another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So again, there's this idea of an advocate, of one who will draw alongside you, not just temporarily, but permanently, and he'll be there in everything that you do. So next week, as it's Pentecost Sunday, we're going to look at how this promise was fulfilled as we carry our service going forward, and we carry our series going forward. But for now, for this morning, as I draw to a close, please hear this amazing story. Please hear this amazing promise that the Holy Spirit longs to come alongside each of us today, each of you today. He longs to show us how much God loves us, and he longs to be with us in our times of need. He longs to bring us peace. He longs to bring us hope. He longs to bring us joy. The Holy Spirit's not going to embarrass us or make us look silly in front of everybody else. More than anything, he wants us this morning to know that we are loved. And some of us this morning, we might know up here in our heads that we are loved. But I know for me, it's that still small voice. It's that feeling inside that helps me to know deep in my heart that I am loved. And when I experienced that love when I was 16, it changed my whole life around. And the dangerous thing is that day by day, nothing crazy or scary happens. But each day when I pray for the Holy Spirit to come, and especially as we pray in this season of Thy Kingdom Come, that the Holy Spirit would come in my life and in the lives of my friends, God goes on doing amazing things inside of me. And he can do amazing things inside of other people as well. So as we finish this morning, we're going to pray, and we're just going to be quiet for a moment, and we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit would very simply help us to know that we are loved this morning. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much that in the silence and in the quiet, you are here with us. And as we're still now, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you just help us to know that you are with us in everything that we're facing in our lives. And we surrender to you all those things that worry us and make us feel anxious. And more than anything, Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning to come and to help us know that we are loved by you. Help us to know that love now as we carry on through our service. And help our friends and family, especially those who don't know you, to come to know that love as well. And we especially lift to you those who we might be praying for in this season of thy kingdom come. Come and let your love be known in our lives, in the lives of those that we're praying for, and in the lives of everybody who lives in this city. Holy Spirit, come and be with us, we pray. Amen. So as we continue to reflect on these passages now, we're going to stand and sing our